Welcome to the Productivities Podcast. Here's another edition of Three More Things. I don't have too many more of these left, but I wanted to share this one with you. This is my friend Casey Proctor. He stuck around after our initial discussion, which you can find in the show notes, to talk to me about three more things. So without further ado, let's hear Casey talk about three more things with me on the Productivities Podcast. It's time for Three More Things with Casey Proctor. Casey, thanks for sticking around to chat about three more things.
Thanks, man.
So this is for all the people in the productivities community. And if you haven't listened to the weekly episode yet, definitely do that. And we're going to refer to something that Casey wrote for the blog. We'll dive in a little bit deeper and you'll be able to check that out, of course. That'll be linked to in the show notes. But the first thing I want to talk about is something we alluded to in the weekly episode was this idea of you know, the vices that we have. And I talked about, you know, the fact that I don't drink anymore and, you know, things that we like, boundaries and these guardrails that we put in place. But one of the things that I think is interesting is I hadn't talked about that publicly, like at least on the podcast. I've done it in talks and I've told people like in one-to-one situations, but I hadn't talked about that publicly until that episode, which, and we've talked, I mean, we're talking like it's been since, so I mean, we're in June now, so we're talking like four months worth. So it's past the 90 day, it's like 120 days in. Derek Sivers has this great talk about like keeping your goals to yourself, which is something that would be, you'd think would be counterintuitive to actually achieving them. What kind of stuff do you keep to yourself when it comes to like the goals or the intentions that you want to make sure you bring to light versus the ones that maybe you do need the help of a community, not necessarily a confidant, because I mean, obviously, you know, you and I talked about this, this stuff privately, but I didn't publicly state it or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I have some mixed feelings. So, in my job, I work for an author, Jeff Goins, and like we put together product launches and book launches, and a lot of, you know, building up anticipation for those types of things requires publicly sharing the process. And Austin Kleon talks about, you know, in his book, Show Your Work, to show your work. Mm-hmm. And part of that is like showing some of the writing process and stuff. And so I have some mixed feelings on it. However, I mean, there's research, and I've experienced this myself, where if you share a big goal publicly, you experience some of the euphoria and, you know, sensation, you know, positive sensations associated with actually accomplishing the goal without doing any work. Mm-hmm. And so there's something to be said for keeping some goals close to the vest. And so like I've, you know, shared before publicly about, you know, trying to write a book or trying to like build a blog, you know, an online platform to a certain level or write every day. And like by sharing it and having people, you know, if you put it up on Facebook or Instagram and people are, you know, giving you the thumbs up and giving you hearts and stuff and be like, yay, me too. Like you experience some of the euphoria of actually completing the goal without doing any of the work.
Yeah.
And so like for me, it's more of a like know thyself. Like if you know that if you share that in public, you're not actually going to do it, then you need to keep it quiet. You need to keep it to yourself. Maybe talk with one other person who can help hold you accountable, be like, because it's very different to say I'm going to write every day and then like try to do it by yourself every single day. It's very different for me to say, hey, Mike, I need to write every day. I don't need to publish every day. I don't even need to publish any of it, but I need to write 500 words. Can you help hold me accountable? And so that means, you know, maybe not every day, but every couple of days, Mike's going to be like, yo, dude, you write?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have to say, yeah, I did, or no, I didn't. And that accountability factor, either, you know, in a privately to one other person, you know, through an app like Streaks or something like that, where you're tracking your progress, or publicly to a small like community of writers. Like if you were part of a writers group of, you know, a dozen or so or more people on Facebook, where like every day you've got to check in and put how many words you wrote. And like if you wrote, you win. Like if you wrote your 500 words, you win. And so I've got a bit of a mixed feeling on that, but I think it's a combination of knowing yourself and having that like actual accountability, because it's very different to just put it out there and have people praise the aspiration but have no accountability.
Right, right. And I think that there's a way to kind of temper it too, right? Like you mm-hmm. said, like share with one people or maybe a small group of people as opposed to putting it out there for the whole world to see, like a public declaration.
Absolutely.
This lends itself nicely to the idea of diving deeper into intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it's it seems to be unconventional. You know, it seems to be something that, you know, is not, it's becoming more mainstream, but it's not necessarily something that people, you know, aspire to do, or you might get a sideways look by doing it. What are some of the things that you encountered when you started fasting? Like, did you, did you share it? Number one, like, did you say, hey, this is what I'm going to do right out of the gate? Like, how did you, you know, how did that evolution of you going from someone who didn't fast to someone who is now kind of embraced, I'll use that term, embraced it?
Sure. Absolutely. So when it comes to fitness, I've always been, had no problem with exercise. So I can get my, you know, I, for years, I'm not lying, but many people can vouch for me. I used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym for 2 hours and then get on the bus and go to work. And I did that for years, with kids at home while getting an MBA and working a full-time job and having side clients. Like, I would get up and stay in the early and go to the gym and work out. And I had no problem doing that. So the exercise portion was never a challenge for me. I recognize that's a challenge for other people, and that's what I try to help folks with Fit Dad Life. But it's just, it's not something that I struggle with. However, nutrition has always been my kryptonite. Mm-hmm. I, like, you put pizza in front of me, candy, soda, beer, you know, like, you know, a plate of bacon, I'm going to eat it. Like, I would never, I would, donuts, I would fast food. Like, I would never say no, cause I just, I like food and I like to eat. And so I, like, my body was in, you know, for years has been in this constant struggle or battle between, you know, exercising and having a diet that didn't match that. And I forget who the quote is attributed to, but they said, you can't outwork a bad diet. And I'm in my mid 30s now, and that is more and more true. When I was, you know, in college and stuff, my metabolism was off the charts. you know, so, cause I would still work out, but I could eat anything I wanted and still have 6-pack abs. So I had no reason, you know, to intrinsically to eat healthy. But as I'm older, that has caught up with me. And so with intermittent fasting, like, for me, it was a very binary measure to begin a process of eating healthier. So some people like to count calories. That is something I intend to start doing next. Mm-hmm. But with intermittent fasting, it's binary. Like, you're eating or you're not. And yep. There's different methods. There's 16-hour, which is what I do. There's 12-hour. And then, like, I'm actually fasting every day. So every day I stop eating by about 8 o'clock at night, which means I don't eat until noon the next day. And I'm doing that every day of the week, weekends included. There's other methods of intermittent fasting where you actually do a full 24-hour fast once or twice a week. And so it's a matter of, like, does it work for you? Do you like it? Are you still healthy? It is not for everyone. And there's, like, I'll have resources provided, you know, to you then, and links and such, so people can look into the audit for the audience so they can determine if it is a healthy choice for them. Like, it's recommended to go, like, see a doctor and have had a recent physical before you get serious about intermittent fasting. Because it's kind of drastic, because you're putting your body into a fasted state each day. And then you're only eating for an 8-hour window typically, because 16 plus 8 is 24. Mm-hmm.
Math.
We love it. There's a couple reasons I like it that have absolutely nothing to do directly with losing weight. I will say that in a combination of intermittent fasting since the second or third week of January to date, we're recording this in, earlier in the year. So I've been on intermittent fasting regularly for about 4 weeks. In combination with that and a high intensity interval training with weighted jump ropes. So I'm working out for about a half hour a day each weekday doing a weighted jump rope routine. I am down 12 pounds and am starting to see abs again for the first time in a decade. And meanwhile, I've been working out in the meantime. Last year, I hit a bench press PR of 285 pounds. So, like, I am strong, but I was not fit. And that is, you know, my mindset has shifted a bit in that with this year and taking on intermittent fasting. And so the reasons why I like it that have nothing directly to do with losing weight are it makes the mornings very simple for a couple reasons. One, like breakfast is just not there, so I get that time back. The other thing is it eliminates decision fatigue. So in the morning, instead of deciding, okay, do I have a bowl of Lucky Charms or a donut or an apple and a banana, I just don't make that decision at all because it's just gone. It's just not there. The other thing, so that's the mornings. The mornings are just much more simple, and I avoid decision fatigue as well. The thing I like about it in the evenings is because I stop eating by 8 o'clock, if I'm staying up late, like reading or watching a movie with my wife or doing some work, our bodies naturally crave sugar and junk food late at night. Like it's a biological thing. Like it's science. It's not like a bad habit or an addiction. It's just our bodies naturally crave sugar as we're starting to wind down in those later hours. And so because I stop eating at 8, I don't eat any of that junk late at night. So it's not like, oh, I can't, like, it's not a decision of, okay, don't have that bag of chips and don't drink that soda. It's, oh, it's past 8 o'clock. I don't eat anything. So like I'll drink water, but I just completely avoid it. The other byproduct that I found, which has been good, is I'm actually getting more sleep because I've been going to bed instead of, staying up late and messing around on my phone or social media or whatever. Because I do have to get up by 6:30 each morning to drive my kids to school. that's kind of a hard start in the morning. Instead of staying up late till midnight or 1 o'clock, goofing off, because I'm not productive at those hours, is I'm like, I just go to bed because, like, well, I'm hungry, sort of, because I'm craving these sugary foods because I haven't eaten in 2 hours. I'm just going to go to bed. So I'm going to bed at a more reasonable hour, getting more sleep. I'm not eating junk, eating anything after 8 o'clock, which includes junk food. And my mornings are a lot simpler. So those are just a couple of the things that I have found to be additional benefits to intermittent fasting beyond, the direct losing weight stuff.
That's a lot in that second thing. That's a lot. That's good. It's so good. And we'll have the links in the show notes that you the resource that you're going to have. We'll put in the show notes here. The third thing I want to talk to you about, which is going to be super quick, is decision fatigue for couples. There's a post on the Productivity's website that you can check out where Casey dives into this a little bit deeper. But can you share with me like the one thing that you've tried or that you've done that's kind of helped with that? If anything, or the thing that made either that, or what's the one thing that made you realize that, hey, look, we need to put some kind of, matrix or framework or something in place here so that we can, mitigate that.
Absolutely. So it's a work in progress.
I think it
I
always,
share
I think it always will be.
right? My wife doesn't like making decisions, and I am perhaps overly concerned with her happiness. That sounds a bit like a humble brag, but like we don't fight and argue a lot about stuff. But one of the things that's equally frustrating for both of us is dinner time, because she'll ask me like, "What do you want for dinner?" And I'm thinking, "You're gonna cook. I will eat whatever you make. It could be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It could be top ramen. It could be chicken cordon bleu. I don't care. Like you're cooking. I will clean. I am happy." Like. She has, in our 12 years, nearly 12 years of marriage, she has made one thing I didn't like. One. And so like I am easy to please. Like I'm just happy. But on her side, she's like, no, I'm asking you what you want, and I don't have an opinion. And so like we're like nicing each other to death. But we have this decision fatigue because like she teaches all day. She's a teacher. I have a full-time job. We have four kids. So we each make a ton of decisions each day. And by the end of the day, when dinner time happens, we're just done. Like we don't want to have that decision. One of the things we've tried in the past that we need that it's just we've gotten out of the habit of speak, back to the habit thing is setting a weekly menu earlier in the week. So like, hey, Monday, we're gonna have this. Tuesday, we're gonna have this. Wednesday, we're gonna order pizza. Thursday, you know, we're all spread out, so it's help yourself to leftovers, etc. So kind of, you know, it's a horizontal theme of dinner because it happens at the same time every day, but it's a vertical theme of planning on a given, like on a Sunday or mm-hmm. on Saturday, where it's like, all right, here's what's going on the next week. Here's what we're going to eat. Any requests? And I'm like, eh, spaghetti sounds good, or French dip sounds good, or pizza sounds great, but not from Domino's. You know, and so like
Domino's pizza, why? Because
there's we had it too much.
No, there's a joke. There's an actual song by Paul and Storm that go Domino. It's a jingle. Domino's pizza. When you order the pizza, eat the box because it tastes the same. I'm like, that's harsh. Now that was before Domino's made like huge strides in their recipe stuff. So this, we're talking like this is from years ago, but it always made me laugh because it's, I'll see if I can find it and share it in the show notes, because it's absolutely like, it was the thing that made me like, it drove me to tears. It was so funny. So, one thing that just to wrap up is, if you go to, this should be up on Medium by the time this episode goes, and I'll link it, is my wife and I have what we call the effing meeting every Thursday. And it's food, family, and finance. And the order of those is interchangeable. Sometimes it's finance first because finance determines what we're doing for food and what we're doing with as a family. Sometimes it's family first because there's some pressing stuff that needs to happen. Then we talk about food, and then like, it doesn't matter. Those things are interchangeable. But mm-hmm. the nice thing is by having those conversations in, like you said, like a horizontal theme setting or a regular appointment, is that when Anne and I sit down to actually have like just life stuff happen, we're not overly concerned with talking about those things because they're already set. They're already, you know, they're already mapped out. So that way it's not like, okay, what are we having for, like we can go as far as planning, and it doesn't happen very often, but we definitely plan a week's worth of meals in advance. And normally one of those days is leftovers, or there's a day that's left blank that will either be filled with leftovers or something, you know, I would say the majority of the meals get planned because you're right. Decision fatigue shows up and then you're ordering in or you're doing something. Whereas, you know, when you've got tools like the Instant Pot or yesterday, I actually made salmon using the Innova sous vide thing. So I was able to actually I could leave the stove because it's you know, it's cooking in sous vide style. So for 45 minutes, I don't have to watch it. And then when I'm done, all I have to do is sear it and it's done. So the meal is basically taking care of itself. We did, I made Costco chicken bakes the other day.
Nice.
And I bought like the pizza dough from Pillsbury, which is like there, that's already done. And then the chicken, I'm like, oh, the chicken hasn't been cooked. I threw it in the Instant Pot for 15 minutes on pressure cook and it was done. Right. Like, and then you cook it like, so like you don't have to have tools to necessarily help you with that. But there are things like you could slow cook like a whole week's worth of, you know, multiple meals of chili and then freeze some of it. So it's about once you start doing that stuff consistently. And I think that's the key, right? Like being intentional and having a way to, like today, I mean, I won't be eating with the family, but there's stuff already ready to go. Like there's options there are options there that will not require us to make, you know, decisions. Same thing with, again, so I think that, but the biggest benefit is that it allows my wife and I to actually sit down when we have time to sit down and be like just together, that we're not going, okay, so what's going on this week? Like we're not doing that. We actually can have like date time together as opposed to, you know, constantly, you know, household management time.
Right. Yeah. So, no, I think I love that because it, you know, it accomplishes the goal of eliminating decision fatigue. Mm-hmm. And then when you do have time together to just be as a couple, you're not taking care of administrative stuff because that's already been handled. So I love that. Yeah. That's great.
Casey, where can people find you online other than obviously checking out the stuff that you've done here at Productivityist and obviously the podcast episode you were on?
Awesome. So they can find me at fitdadlife.com and on Twitter at KC Proctor.
Awesome. Casey, thanks for sticking around and talking about three more things.
Thank you, Mike. Take care, man.